The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Everybody needs a photograph here. And if you don't have one, I won't blame the greeter, but I've got some more for you. So, who's got this in their bulletin? You need to look at this photo. If you don't have one, you need one. So, you got one, Tony? You got one, Paul? We good? Can everybody? Wally? You must be. I also know who came in late now, too, by like. So, if the greeter was doing his job. And you also need a pen eventually, so we'll get these out. But I want to tell you about this photo. Last summer, I had to make a really hard choice. My scout's son troop, because the troop has gotten so big, had to make a choice between, or they had to have two, what we call these long trips in the summer, high adventure trips. And they're usually a trip where it's a little bit more than just going out to a state park and camping, or taking your RV or your pop-up tent. You've all probably heard this term, glamping. High adventure is the opposite of glamping. So, and what usually what it means is that you've got like one little backpack. That's what you've got for a week. All the food you're going to take. You're going to hope you've got water along the way. And I can tell you, our scout troop a couple times has gotten in a little trouble because water wasn't as plentiful as we thought in the places we were going. So last summer, we had to make a choice, and the one choice was a group was going down to Georgia and Tennessee to hike a portion of the Appalachian Trail, and then another portion was going to go up to the UP, and we did a sailing high adventure. So we sailed through the Mackinac Straits, and that one was a little bit more glamping-like. Not totally. We still had to carry everything with us. But it was a really tough choice, because I enjoy these ones where you go with the backpack. There's just nothing, you know, more freeing than to say, this is all I've got, and I can make it for a week. And if you're portaging a canoe or you're hiking through the backcountry, there's a real satisfaction in learning something about yourself by how little you have. And then, so the folks went on the Appalachian Trail, this photo here, they didn't take it. I got this off the internet because I learned about this place a while ago. This gateway that you see in this photograph, this is the only building built across the Appalachian Trail, all the way from Georgia up to Maine. There's only one building that the trail passes through. And this is the one. And what this building is it's an outfitter station. It's about 31 miles from the head of the trail to this station. So if you're hiking and you've been going a good clip, this is probably the middle of day two somewhere. Could be day three, kind of depending on how rough the terrain is, how good a shape you're in. And when you get there, you can buy new supplies. If you've lost something or you left something in your car that you meant to have with you. But they actually have an even more important service that they offer at this place. It's called Mountain Crossings in Blainesville, Georgia. When you get there, very few people buy supplies. Most people decide when they get there, they have too much in their packs. And at Mountains Crossing, they offer service, and they charge you for it because they're going to store your stuff for the rest of the time you're hiking. They call it the shakedown. And somebody from Mountain Crossing will sit down with you and your pack, and they will begin to remove items that you do not need to take with you to make it. Or they're going to say, you know, I see you've got this cast iron skillet. Do you really need that thing in your backpack? Because people take off. You can imagine people take off with the craziest stuff, thinking they're going to need it. You all do this when you go on a trip. I mean, one of the greatest things the airlines has done for us is charged us for the baggage, because now we don't come home with clothes we didn't wear because we thought we need them on the trip that we went on. Everybody has more than they need to make that journey. And it's not just that they get to sit down by themselves. Is that somebody at that store sits down with them, takes out each object one by one, and they decide whether or not they're going to keep that object for the rest of their journey. And then they store it for you at Mountain Crossing. Because you can come back 30 miles from the head of the trail. When you get back, however you decide to get back, you're not far from where you parked your original car. You drive by, you pick up the stuff, and actually, sometimes people never come back. They've got loads and loads of stuff. Because people don't just decide they don't need it for their journey on the Appalachian Trail. They just didn't need it at all. We, every week in the Episcopal Church, I've been pushed for several weeks to find out, like, when are we actually going to do this reconciliation service? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. Because we actually do this every single week. The service is supposed to be a shakedown. Every week. And the shakedown, in our liturgical terms, happens in two moments. It happens in a moment called the confession, and then it happens in a moment called the peace. And these are two halves of the same activity in the church. It is meant for you to come in that door every week, and even though you've been journeying for a week and your pack is still heavy, it's time to sit down and take each object out of your pack and decide, what am I going to carry for the rest of the time? What is burdening me down and what is not burdening me down? What do I need for sustenance, but what can I lay aside? And when you think about the confession and when you think about the peace, these are meant for you to strip away two different types of things. The confession is meant to strip away those things that continually keep you in harming other folks. And the peace is meant for you to give away those things that you're in bondage to because you can't forgive another person because of something they did to you. Because reconciliation takes both of these things. It takes, one, us to open our packs and start to unpack them and say, you know, this object that I've been carrying around, when I use this object, I hurt other people. And this object, I'm carrying this around because somebody hurt me. And the truth is, you need to get both of those things out of your pack. Because the things that you're carrying around just because of anxiety and fear, and the things that you're carrying around just to protect yourself out of your own ego, they are the cast iron skillets in those packs. And sometimes they're not even as useful as that. Sometimes they're just rocks. and heavy objects. And so I felt like this morning, this is the last Sunday morning service I'm going to preach under the contract as your vicar. And when I come back in January, I get a new title, but it doesn't matter all that much. I felt like we're probably 31 miles down this trail. And we've come to this arch. And it's time to unpack those packs and decide what we're taking and what we're not. And it could be that some of those things that you need to take out, that you keep in that pack because they make you feel good about yourself, but in feeling good about yourself or doing what you think is right and they hurt other people, maybe that's something you've used recently. Maybe that's something that you've used and you need to now acknowledge that you used it and you need to take it out of there. But there might be something that you're holding in there, something that is maybe the heaviest object in your pack. And that's because somebody did something to you, and so you keep this thing around because you're not going to forget and you're not going to be taken again. You're not going to let that thing happen. And that needs to come out too. And I know that there might have been things that happened here in 2016 that are related to this. I know there are things that could have happened in 2017 or 2018. I know there could have been something that happened in 1975 that you need to take out of that pack that you've been carrying all this time. That's not important. The important thing is every Sunday morning we come here for the shakedown. And if you've not been shook down before, let me remind you, when you come through those doors each week and you leave, your pack should be lighter. Because you need to confess, get rid of those things that you hold on to that harm other people, and you need to extend the peace to the people who have harmed you. Now, we're going to do this a little differently this morning, and just having our regular Eucharist in that, we are going to do something that, not a lot of you have probably ever done. We do in our prayer books, and you'll need one here, on page 449. We have something called the Rite of Reconciliation. Often people refer to this by only half of what it is, which is they call it confession. But you can't have confession without the other part of it, which is the peace-giving or the forgiveness part of it. And we're going to collectively do this. And since this is to be a confidential rite when it is enacted, we're going to try to make this as confidential as possible. And on the back side of this photo, we have the parts of the rite that you need. And we're going to go through this together. But this will be a silent confession this morning. And on one side of the shakedown, you get to write in that box when we come to the appropriate moment where if you were sitting with me in the chapel or some other sacred place where you would start to list the items of the things that you want to take out of that pack that you hold on to, even though they harm other folks, you're going to write it in that box quietly. And then when we get to what is always the most important moment, I find in this rite, where the person who is doing the rite of reconciliation with you asks you if you'll forgive folks, and you have to say yes, by the way. If you don't, the confession's we're done. So the reconciliation doesn't happen. You get to write them in the other one. So we're going to go through this rite on Form 2. This is going to replace our time of confession this morning. After we get done with this, we will, in fact, have the prayers of the people. We'll say the creed and then have the prayers of the people, and then we will pass the peace. But the way we're going to handle this to keep this confidential is I have made these gift boxes. The psychologist Bob Enright says that the best thing that you can do at the end of a time of reconciliation is offer gifts to one another. And these gifts They're wrapped like kids wrap them, because that's what we are. And they're going to be passed, they're going to be set around the church. I'm going to move them while you all are writing in your boxes this morning. And you might have to fold it up pretty tight, but you're going to put that confession, that paper confession, with the picture of that arch that we're all walking through together at this moment, into one of them, at the beginning of the peace. And I want you, before you extend the peace of Christ to any person, that you have put your piece of paper into one of the gift boxes. So we're going to do this now. When it comes to the time when you normally would vocalize your confession, you're going to write it. When it comes to the time when you would normally vocalize your forgiving of people, you're going to write it. And then you're just going to fold it up. And at the peace, before you go and extend the peace to anybody else, you're going to find one of these boxes, one in the front, one in the back. I know there'll be a traffic jam. I know this might take some time. But I think it takes the right amount of time to be at peace with one another so that we can come and eat at the same table together. So it might be something you haven't thought about recently. It might be something that you don't think about very often. But this is a moment to make your pack lighter. So let's do that together. Form 2 of the Rite of Reconciliation on page 449 of the prayer book. Together, all of us. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions only too well, and my sin is ever before me. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Pray for me, a sinner. May God in his love enlighten your heart, that you may remember in truth all your sins and his unfailing mercy. Amen. Hear the word of God, who all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Now in the presence of Christ, and of me as minister, confess your sins with a humble and obedient heart to Almighty God, our Creator and our Redeemer. And let us say together, Holy God, Heavenly Father, you formed me from dust in your image and likeness, and redeemed me from sin and death by the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the water of baptism, you clothed me with the shining garment of his righteousness, and establish me among your children in your kingdom. But I have squandered the inheritance of your saints, and I have wandered far in a land that is waste. I confess to you and to the church. Therefore, O Lord, from these and all other sins I cannot now remember, I turn to you in sorrow and repentance. Receive me again into your arms of mercy, and restore me to the blessed company of your faithful people, through him in whom you have redeemed the world, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you turn again to Christ as your Lord?
I will.
Do you then forgive those who have sinned against you?
I forgive them.
May Almighty God in mercy receive your confession of sorrow and of faith, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life. Amen. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who offered himself to be sacrificed for us to the Father, and who conferred power on his church to forgive sins, absolve you through my ministry by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and restore you in the perfect peace of the church. Amen. And now there's rejoicing in heaven, for you were lost, and you are found, you were dead, and you are now alive in Christ Jesus. our Lord. Go in peace. The Lord has put away all your sins. Thanks be to God. You can fold those up tight when you're finished with them. And as I said, at the time of the peace, go to the box and put it in there. It will disappear forever at some point. Somebody will not open those on Tuesday morning as a present, I promise you. And let's continue our journey together down the road. Amen.